I'd just like to commit our time here to the Lord. But what I want to look at this morning briefly is seeing Jesus in Christmas. My first thought was seeing Christ in Christmas. And that's not really it. No, seeing Jesus. Because I want to go to the stories of his birth, and look at essentially people who were there to witness it. They saw it. But before that, let's just commit the time this morning, this small time, to our Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father, we do come to you this morning just to acknowledge your goodness and your loving kindness to us. And we thank you for your presence here with us this morning. And just as we look at your word, we ask that you are the one that turns on the light. Lord, we ask that you will, the light of your Holy Spirit will be in our hearts this morning, that we might gain a better understanding, Lord, that we might grow in our faith, and that we may fix our eyes firmly upon you. Amen. For this we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Christmas, there's a lot of stuff about expectation at Christmas, isn't there? What do we expect, you know? And so, and as, you know, we grow up, when I was a child, I expected Santa Claus. Who else, you know? And then, you know, as we then grow and we mature, we have various expectations and traditions. And then as life goes on, you know, I got married and then we had different traditions again. And things change throughout. And so now I was thinking of this and I want to go back to the Old Testament here. You know, what were the Jews expecting? Well, my overall impression is that they were expecting a Messiah who would come and save them from their enemies. And I don't know, to rule. And I'm not quite sure what their picture of that would have been. But it was certainly a one of conquering domain and being there, and I'm not quite sure how fast that went in general Jewish culture. As I was looking here, I just want to read a verse out of Zechariah here, 9:9, where it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and has salvation." That all sounds good. And then it says, "Lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Well, if you're going to be a ruler, you need to show up, even in these days, at least on a horse. The donkey doesn't do it, does it? And so as I read that, I wonder how the Jewish mind processed that, if it did, you know. And it did. With some, it must have processed. But he was expected to be a warrior, which he is. But he is also the Prince of Peace, isn't he? And so you've got the secular expectation, and then you've got the Almighty God that did something entirely of what they were not really able to begin to comprehend in the nativity in Christ being born, you know. And I wonder exactly, you know, I would tend to think that they might have considered the big picture, but I don't think they were expecting somebody to be announced at birth here in such a way. Though I think they're, to those who had ears to hear. So that is Zechariah. So expectations, what? And so I went through, I then was looking at the New Testament, and I want to pick out a few things here. The wise men. I want to look at the wise men. I want to look at the shepherds. I want to look at Simeon and Anna. What did they see? I'll now go briefly over these, but the wise men, here you've got, I don't think for one moment these guys were Jews. They were wise men from the East. I don't know. I haven't researched it. But they came from the East. But they followed the star, didn't they? Because they knew there had been born a king. I don't know what sort of understanding they would have had of the Jews, but they came from a distance off. And they were following the star. You know, was this astrology? I don't know. It kind of smacks of it a little bit. But they came because they knew something important had happened. And they knew a king had been born. They saw a star and they followed it. Now, I don't know how they exactly accomplished that, but I have a feeling it must have been at night, because you don't see too many stars in the day. You know, so I'm thinking, okay, these guys, they slept in the day and they traveled at night looking at the direction of this star. And so they're in the dark, maybe in more than one way, maybe physically, but also maybe spiritually. And so they are following this star. And they end up, you end up in Palestine, what is now Israel, the Promised Land, let's call it, and is ruled by the Romans. So you go to the authorities of the day to ask. And starting in Matthew, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the day of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." So these men had come for the purpose of worshiping the Lord, which is interesting, because they obviously recognized significance of a spiritual nature here. And then, of course, first of all, they show up with Herod, which I would label this the formal approach. They went to the respected authorities and said, "Where is he?" Of course, Herod had no idea, but the scholars of the day steered them in the right direction. So they said to him, "Bethlehem in Judea, for thus it is written in the prophets, 'But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people.'" So they went off, and the star guided them, and it guided them to to Jesus, where it tells us they fell down and worshipped him. And so now this probably I've heard that it could have been as much as under 2 years old or whatever. In the formal way, they presented gifts to him. Gold, and we're very familiar with this. I don't know whether any of you have ever wondered what happened to those things. The gold, here we are. I don't think Joseph and Mary were living the upper class life. And so there they have these things. I don't have any answer. I don't know who would have an answer to that. But somehow they were presented. And so they had these gifts, and they were accepted. It was a form of acceptance in the culture. And so Mary and Joseph end up with the gifts they present. And then they found Jesus, they fell down. Second thing where they fell down and worshiped, they presented gifts. And then the fifth thing is they received a divine warning all of a sudden. And this is where, on the level of earth, we could consider things went slightly wrong. Because the next thing we see, but not probably on the divine table, but the end result of this visit was that Joseph and Mary had to flee to Egypt and stay there until Herod had finished his rampaging and had lost his office and had died, probably, And so this, as an experience for the men, those people, they found Jesus, they saw him, they worshipped him. They were warned of God, probably for their own sake as well as for the sake of Mary and Joseph and Jesus. They left a different way. And then they disappear. We don't know very much out of that. And the end result was, the cause and effects was, Jesus went and lived in Egypt. And for that, I have no idea why the Almighty did that. It says as a prophecy, out of Egypt I have called my son. But it was a part of the divine timetable. It's maybe the best way to best category to put that in. The second group of people I want to look at is the shepherds. And that comes out of Luke here. In Luke and chapter 2, this was let me just read this passage. Now there was in the same county shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And from there is born, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and he will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all men." And so these shepherds all of a sudden, they were watching their flocks, they were in their own little world out there, and then all of a sudden the heavens open and they get this amazing presentation, these angels in glory. You know, I can't imagine exactly how they took that. I think it must have been truly mind-blowing. And to see that, the heavenly host, as Ed was saying earlier, see that heavenly host, what a wonderful thing to behold. Now, in their response here in Luke, this I will proclaim, rather than a formal approach, this was a spontaneous approach. So what did they do? They saw the angels of the Lord. They got frightened, which was a very natural response. And then they were told, we're to go and find him. And so they went and found Jesus. And after that, it tells us they went and told everybody. They became evangelists. Do you know what we've just seen? You know, they didn't keep that quiet. You know, how could you? And so they spread that word. I don't know how far and wide it went for them, but I expect it was, it would have been a very dynamic thing to pass on. Do you know what we've just seen? You know, and they've seen the baby in the manger and the heavenly host. So they became, as it were, the first sent out ones to tell everybody. Then I want to look at Simeon into 25. And I will call this the anticipating approach. He'd been waiting a while. And here, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was a just and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen the salvation which has been prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And then so we can say of this Simeon and his anticipating approach, he was waiting. He had understood, and he was waiting for the Messiah. And it had been granted to him to know that he'd get to see it, and he wouldn't die until he did. What a promise. So he was waiting for Jesus. The second thing was he lifted Jesus up in his arms. It tells us that in the passage. And he blessed God. And this man saw this, he knew in this one event there was salvation. And it wasn't just for him, it was for us all. He might not have had that longer range sight, but he had that longer range truth. The other thing he had seen here, he had seen let me just go back to 29 and run through. Now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the faces of the people, and a light of bright revelation to the Gentiles. So he saw this to the Gentile world as well. He wasn't just, you know, he saw it for the Jewish people, but he saw it in a very much broader. He had tremendous light. And and then he was free. So that was Simeon. And then, last of all, I want to look at Anna. Now, Anna, it tells us in the scripture, there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and this woman was a widow for about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and praying night and day. And coming in the instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. So here she is. And this is the vigilant approach. She had been there, she had been looking, and she had been waiting. She obviously knew. It says she did not depart from the temple. That's where her heart was. The second thing, she served God with fasting day and night, it tells us. So she was was not out wrapping Christmas presents, so to speak. She wasn't decorating the Christmas tree. She wasn't looking for Santa. You know, to put it in a Western context, she had her eyes and her heart set on the real meaning of what Christmas is. She was waiting for him. She was watching for him. And she gave thanks, the third, she gave thanks to the Lord for him, because she recognized what this meant. And then she too told about Jesus to those looking for the redemption in Jerusalem. And so she then proclaimed what she had seen. So she was his witness. And she spread the news to those who were looking for him. She was obviously one of those who was well connected with the saints that were looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. So I say that to say this. What is our approach? Just two passages of scripture that I want to read here. In Luke 13, it speaks of, and I can't see the scripture I'm looking for, but it speaks about asking, seeking, and knocking. And I was looking at that And in also in Revelation, 13:25. I see my reference here. Now, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin standing outside and knocking at the door, saying, "Lord, open to us," he will answer and say to you, "I do not know you. Where are you from?" And so there is the master of the house. You know, maybe this was undoubtedly spoken to Israel. But they, when there's an asking and seeking and knocking, which doesn't get answered here, and I want to present that as contradistinct to Revelation 3. And verse 20, where the Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." So I wonder, what sort of asking, seeking, and knocking do we need to get the questions of? What sort of asking, seeking, and knocking? Are we this Christmas asking, seeking, and knocking, and looking to dine with the Lord Jesus? Or are we, we don't want to end up a day too late for the banquet? But that's the punchline. Don't end up a day late at the banquet. Ask, seek, and knock, and see what the Lord will reveal to you. See what he'll say. And enjoy him this Christmas. This is a celebration about him, and we need to honor it and spread it and not get distracted. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word here this morning. We thank you for the miraculous incarnation. We thank you that you found a way to reach us. And Lord, we bless you, and we just ask that this Christmas time might be a time where we can enjoy your presence. And Lord, that you might be the center, as it was for these saints, we pray. And for this, we will give you all the glory in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. And may the Lord go with you.